Imagine having the life of your dreams. Not temporary cash and glory, but happiness and inner peace. Explore new ways to be a creator and take your own journey into greatness. Is it possible? What does it take to make that happen? It takes the person known for extreme results. He's called the Cage Breaker and the Ultimate Catalyst. Coming back from the brink of death and now crushing it for himself and his clients, this is Your Ultimate Life Podcast with Kellen Flukiger.
Really enjoying doing these episodes on the PTAC, the Personal Truth and Commitment Statement. I want to talk a little bit about that now in connection with this episode, which is titled Freedom of Openness. And so in that context, I want to be open about what this PTAC is and what the purpose of it is. Why am I even doing a bunch of episodes? Because remember, the whole point of doing all these podcasts is for you to create the ultimate life. The ultimate life, I've defined it as a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy that you create serving others with your divine gifts. Now, you can decide, obviously, what the ultimate life is for you. The principles that I'm talking about in each of these podcasts are distilled from hundreds of years of book writing, not of mine, but also the hundreds of books that I've read, the many books that I've written, and the hundreds of clients that I've coached, all of them trying to do one thing, and that is to make a difference, to add good to the world. It's without exception that every client I coach is always talking about, you know, I want to do more, I want to help people, and so forth. So if that's the premise, and you create your ultimate life of purpose, prosperity, and joy using your divine gifts and talents to serve others, then that's our joint purpose here. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about what the PTAC is in the context of the name here of the openness, the freedom of openness. A Personal Truth and Commitment is a document that I created, and I coined that phrase. It's simply a declaration of who I want to be in the world. And I worked on it for many, many months, and I still tweak it here and there, and it's several pages long. And it has lots of characteristics in it. And the last bunch of podcasts that I've been doing and the next bunch are all about some of the words that we use. In that, about clarity and about committedness and usefulness and boldness and, you know, all the things that have been talked about, and I use them in a particular way. And openness is one of those things that for me is part of an ultimate life. And as I work with all the clients that I've worked with over the years, here's what I notice. I notice that when they are not open, when they are trying to reserve, keep things hidden, that they are far less capable and powerful at doing the things, serving others with their divine gifts. So what that says to me is the more hidden you keep things, the less open you are, the less able you are to serve others with your divine gifts. Why would that be true? Well, let's just talk about that. Because it was certainly a thing for me for a long time. And the three parts to today's podcast about the freedom of openness, part one is, what if they knew? Part two is, what is? And there's a poem that I'm going to add to that. And the part three is, freedom, joy, and help from openness. So let's talk about what if they knew. Something that kept me in decades of depression and kept me from seeking help, getting better, and then getting good at helping others with my divine gifts was this idea of keeping things hidden. So I was raised with the idea that everything is in the family, stays in the family, don't talk about any problems, keep everything hidden, quiet, don't tell, right? And I think it might have been a generational thing or even a multi-generational thing, because lots of people that I talk to or talk to me have the same idea. Well, yeah, nobody's supposed to talk about that. I had a client who wrote a book about some tremendous abuse that took place in her household. And of course, the culture was one of don't tell. And I think the theory is control, don't tell or you die. And so that's how people that are perpetrating things that are wrong keep control over folks. And in my upbringing, everything was don't tell, it's family business, et cetera, et cetera. And when it was not only about abuse and negativity that was going on in the house, but the idea of it's all private, you keep your private stuff private. Well, I haven't found that to be very helpful as an approach to life. I haven't found it to be very helpful to healing myself. I haven't found it very helpful for any clients who I've worked with. Now, that doesn't mean you wear a sandwich board walking around talking about all your problems, because first of all, it's not very interesting. And second of all, that isn't helpful. What I have noticed, and I'll just use me, my situation as an example, and you can figure out if it applies to you and if it does, how. I didn't talk about feeling depressed. I didn't talk about the struggle that I had feeling worthy and feeling not good enough and feeling cast out. I assigned it to something's wrong with me. I am, in fact, not good enough. I'm broken. I'm bad. If I were just doing what I was supposed to be doing, everything would be okay and I wouldn't feel like this. And that was my true belief. And that was indoctrinated and drilled and grilled and tattooed on my heart and brain forever. So what that did is it made me assume everything that was wrong with my feelings or with me or with anything I did was all my fault. And therefore, I was inadequate, inferior, and so forth. Where that went is every time anything wasn't exactly right in my life, I had this terrifying question, what if they knew? So that goes to this place. If someone knew about me, they wouldn't like me. If they only knew I had this or that problem, oh, I would be an outcast. I would be, thrown out, disallowed, disowned, et cetera, et cetera. And to some extent, that's true. So for example, I wrote the book Tightrope of Depression, describing my upbringing and describing my own depression and talking about what happened to me and how I felt and everything. And because I wrote that book, I've been disinvited, disincluded, disallowed from family reunions and family gatherings. It's not okay for anybody's, for my nieces and nephews, little kids to be around me because I might contaminate them with my opinions. My bad behavior, not behavior, but opinions. It's just really opinions, thoughts. The fact that I had depression and struggled with not good enough, and consequently that led me down dark roads of addiction and so forth. All those things, and now I've gotten help, now I'm better, now I wrote the book, now I'm a coach, and I've done all kinds of work around that, and my wife and I facilitated, for a couple of years, a 12-step recovery program for other addicts, et cetera, et cetera. All of that doesn't matter. There's still this, well, if they knew, fill in the blank. And in that context, there is this, we've got to keep it separate. You can't be by them. It's like depression is somehow contagious, or the opinions I had about, the physical punishment abuse that I suffered with and wrote about in the book a little bit. Those opinions are somehow going to be wrong and contaminate someone. And so it perpetuates this, if they only knew. Well, here's the truth, folks. The truth that I've discovered finally is that we all struggle with feelings of inadequacy. That feeling of inadequacy leads us to have warped views about failure. If we fail at something or we don't do it right or well, then we feel not good enough. That not good enough means we don't try this and we don't try that, and we don't apologize in case our apology isn't accepted, and we don't try to get that job or finish that course or try that new skill because what if we fail? All of those things, here's where the bottom line is. It means that you and I, we don't live up to our potential. It means that we don't have the depth and meaning of relationships that we could. It means that we leave so much I'd say leave money on the table. That's a negotiation phrase. We leave so much life on the table. We leave so much love on the table. We leave so much opportunity on the table. And when a choice, now I've made a choice to be open, and so in Tightrope and in other things, I've written about my addictions and going to rehab and overcoming this and that and the other, and I've written about all those things, not to say, oh, I was cool because that happened, but to be open, to share the struggle that I had with anyone who is interested or who might benefit from that for the purpose of helping them. And so the idea, what if they knew, is a false, destructive thought that keeps us locked up and wrapped up inside of ourselves. And so we don't share our common humanity. We don't share our common struggles. We don't get a chance to give love and kindness and lifting and blessing to each other because we are so afraid if somebody knew about our weakness or failing that somehow we'd be cast out, cast down, not good enough, blown away, blah, blah, blah. It's not true, and it means that we live so far beneath our capability, and we leave so much love and opportunity on the table as divine creations and you know, our ability to support and to love each other. Part two of today's podcast is a little phrase that some people really hate. I say, well, you know, what is, and people sometimes that I'm talking to get mad about that. It's like, no, it shouldn't be that way. And we launch down the road or go down the road of, you know, they should, it should, government should, God should, environment should, neighbor should, spouse should. Look, what is. All of the effort and energy you spend arguing with what is a waste of breath, a waste of time, and a waste, quite frankly, of your gifts and talents. What if you lived every single day completely at peace with what is? Now, that doesn't mean you don't have things you want to change, but the danger is in the drama. So when we spend a lot of time frustrated, chafing, angry, pushing back, that grinding drama in our heart creates neurotransmitters that kill us. You have an excess cortisol and other kinds of neurotransmitters in your bloodstream. Those are corrosive and they kill you. So it also decreases your creativity. It decreases your capacity to love. It decreases your capacity to enjoy life. And it crowds out other beautiful neurotransmitters like serotonin and oxytocin and those ones that feel good. So here's what we do. Instead of allowing what is, and that means everything from the weather to how someone else is behaving to whether or not someone likes us or is nice to us, what is. It is the way it is. Now, the question you can ask yourself, and this is a super powerful question, so I'm going to say it really slow, and that is this. Given what is, what do you wish to create? So rather than spending any effort or energy chafing about what is, take what is. The weather, people's behavior, their attitudes, your own life like it is. Let's say, for example, I was overweight at one point. So let's say you have a weight problem like I used to. Okay, that is what is. Now, I can chafe or get frustrated or negative about it, or I can just do something about it without the drama, the anger, the recrimination, the blame, the negativity that comes from that need to hide and to pretend and to be unopen, closed, locked up, right? And so the freedom that comes from being open about what is allows you to bring all of your creativity and love and power to bear to change whatever things are that you'd like to have different. There's a poem that I'm not going to recite the whole poem here, but I would encourage you to look it up. And that's called The Man in the Glass. And it was written in 1934 or something. And it's a beautiful poem. And it just talks about being honest with yourself. And no matter what kind of a facade you put on or how much you hide, that when you look in the mirror, you know who you are. you know what you've done, and you know whether or not you are being in integrity, you are being the person that you purport to be. And if you're not, the only thing you'll have is loneliness and tears and sadness and pain, because when you look at yourself, you can't fool yourself. You can't fool God, and you can't fool yourself. And so being open about what is, including those things you decide you want to change, you get to access freedom and power that you do not have if you're hiding. The last part of today's is to talk about the freedom, the joy, and the help that comes from openness. Now, I just talked a little bit about the freedom. When I stopped hiding addictions and I stopped hiding depression and I stopped hiding the fact that I had been through these things and started talking about them and was open about them and got help and, you know, sort of above board, this is what's going on, this is what's been going on, this is what I'm doing, everything changed. Freedom, I was immediately unfettered from the secrecy, the cloak and the garb of secrecy, the chains of hiding stuff. I also was freed because I realized that there are so many people that struggle with, it doesn't matter if it's mental issues like mine was or any kind of things. We all struggle with the feeling of inadequacy, whether it's physically or mentally or socially or emotionally or financially or something. No matter what we're doing, we have this fear of not good enough. I don't know why, but we have it. Every single person that breathes air has it. Isn't it nice to know that we all have that? And so we don't have to hide it or pretend it away. And there's help and opportunity when we all just understand that we live with that. And that doesn't mean we have to stay living with that. But if we start from a place of understanding that we all struggle with this fear of inadequacy, we all struggle with skeletons in the closet, we all struggle with things that we have done or said that we, in hindsight or retrospect, we wish we had not done or said and we would like to fix. Openness brings you freedom. Openness allows you to create joy, and openness allows you to create or find or access the help you need to create your ultimate life. Open your heart
and this time around. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger. Stand with your heart in the sky and your feet on the